Our lesson today is about the calling and conversion of Matthew. We read in the Gospel of Luke, in the 5th chapter, that Jesus went forth and saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he spake unto him and said, "Follow me." And he arose and left all and followed him. In these words, we have the calling of an apostle, of an evangelist, by Christ at the seaside of Capernaum. Publicans were men that were tax gatherers. The Romans, they farmed out to certain individuals this tax gathering. Certain men, prominent men, they gave unto the Romans the tax that was necessary to be paid to them. And these men, in turn, they went out and hired other inferior men to collect the taxes that these prominent men had already paid into the state. Now these inferior men, they were called publicans. They had no laws. They had no way of knowing what actually the tax was. And these publicans extorted too much from the people, and therefore they were hated for the more part by the Jews, who were so proud and who thought that they were not to pay any tax. This man, Levi, the son of Alphaeus, he was a publican. Zacchaeus was another one that was a publican. And there were other publicans called by Christ to be his disciples. These men, they were hated and despised by the Jews. Matthew, as he is called and as he calls himself, he was by birth a Galilean. By religion, he was a Jew, and by profession, he was a publican. He sat at the receipt of custom in Capernaum, a maritime town, and he was at the seaside. There, whoever went across the sea or went back again, they paid a certain toll to this man, Matthew. He sat at the receipt of custom. Custom was something that had to be paid to the government for merchandise that was imported or exported. This man, Matthew, was sitting at this receipt of custom, and Christ called him. After his calling and conversion, we find that he was a follower of Christ, that he followed Christ and seen his life, his deportment. He was one that heard the sermons that Christ preached. He was also an apostle and was one that was a witness of his death and of his resurrection. Upon the day of Pentecost, he likewise was endowed with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and he, with the other apostles, went forth to preach the word. How long that he remained in Judah, we know not. Sufficiently long enough to write the gospel which bears his name. Commentators say that after a certain period of 8 years, he left Judah and went into the land of Ethiopia to bring the gospel to these people. And tradition says that he became a martyr, that he died in a city called Madabar in Ethiopia. What sort of a death that he suffered is unknown. But to come back to this man, Matthew, we find him then sitting at the receipt of custom. We read in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus went by the seaside and great multitudes followed him, resorted to him to hear what he had to say. And as he was going along the seaside, he sees Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. Here was a sinner chosen by God the Father from all eternity. Here was an elect vessel of mercy. Here was one that was predestinated unto eternal life. Here was one who was to be an apostle and an evangelist. This man, Matthew, was very busy collecting the taxes and counting his money, not paying any attention to whoever went by, but seeing to it that they gave him what was necessary so that he was deeply engrossed in his position as a tax gatherer, a publican. And as we read that Jesus must needs go through Samaria, so Jesus must needs go along the seaside to speak unto this man, Matthew. When he came to where this man was sitting in a toll house, these houses were erected at bridges, at the mouth of rivers, and also along the seaside. And in these houses, these tax gatherers sat. Jesus went over to this man, very busy and engrossed, probably in collecting and counting the money. And Jesus looked at him with a look of love. This man was not accustomed to receive looks of love, for they were generally hated by most of the people. And he looked at him, and he said unto him two words, "Follow me." Never had anyone looked at Matthew as this individual had, and never had he heard anyone speak the words as this man spake. This look of love cast down inwardly in this man all the thoughts and all the imaginations of his heart. And when he said, "Follow me," those words were accompanied with such love and such power into his soul that, as Luke says, he arose and he left off and followed him. Such an effect, such an impression had these words upon this man that he immediately left off. He had a good position. He was a very rich and a wealthy man. But when these words came to him, he arose and left off. He left his sinful life. He left following after vanity. after the things of this world. He left everything that was pleasing to the flesh. And he left also his position as publican and never returned to it. These two words, follow me, had such an effect upon this man that I believe he would have followed Christ unto the end of the world. Whoever is loved by the Father, chosen by him, shall in due time experience what this man, Matthew, experienced. They, whoever they may be, are just like Matthew. They are also in this world. They are dead in sin. They are following the pleasures and the vanities of this world. But there comes a time in such a person's life when he must leave all. When the love of Christ or the love of God is shed abroad in the sinner's heart, he cannot do anything else but love him who has shed that love there. And they leave everything. They leave father, mother, wife, husband, children. They leave the world. They leave the life of sin that they were doing. And they follow after this precious Jesus. I wonder if any of my hearers have ever experienced what this man experienced. What he experienced was instantaneously, immediately. This isn't the normal way in which Christ calls his people to himself. But he does to this day pass by in and through the gospel. And he sometimes whispers very silently to sinners in a way that they cannot mistake, follow me. Has he ever done that to you, my hearers? Have you ever heard his voice in the gospel speaking to you individually to follow him? Have you left all? Oh, what a blessing. If the gospel has come to us with power divine and wrought such a saving work in our hearts that we could not continue any longer in sin, that we had to follow God through good and through evil report. This man, Matthew, he was given to write the gospel which bears his name. The commentator says that it was in the year A.D. 31 that the first time this gospel appeared in the Hebrew tongue. It was in the year 61 that it was translated into the Greek. This gospel which he wrote is one of the best that you could read. It is that which teaches every doctrine that you may find in the Bible. The other gospels are commentaries upon this gospel that he wrote. And even the Apostle Paul could not add anything to it, but he made comments upon this, what Matthew wrote. Now Matthew, he loved the Lord, and everyone that loves the Lord has the same thing that Matthew had. But we find that Matthew made a great feast. And he invited the Lord and his disciples to the feast. And he also invited his friends and the publicans with whom he labored. Now this feast, when it took place, we do not know. It was not the same day, because it takes time to invite people and to prepare for such a feast. But you may be sure that Matthew offered up many prayers and supplications that those publicans and those friends of his might be given to hear, as he had heard, Jesus speak. For those that are wrought upon by the Spirit of God, and not only are they like Matthew, whose heart was open, who loved the Lord, but they have also that love in their hearts for their neighbors. For those that have experienced such a divine change, and not only is their heart open, but their house likewise, as Matthew's was. And they would invite every friend that they know and every enemy that they know, that they would come and hear Jesus Christ. They speak to them, they warn them not to continue on in their sins, and they entreat them to come to the house of God, where Jesus is proclaimed as the Savior of sinners. And now we find Jesus in the midst of publicans and sinners in the house of Matthew. I'm glad that we read that in the Bible. Jesus sitting down with publicans and sinners. There is then hope for publicans and sinners. There were Pharisees and scribes gathered there, and they looked down upon Christ because he was sitting in the midst of such people. These Pharisees, they were a group or a sect of people that lived very strict according to the law. They kept the commandments, and they added many more commandments to them that God had given. They had a reputation of being holy men. They were separated from the world. They lived a praying life. They stood on the street corners making long prayers. And they kept themselves aloof from publicans and sinners. They did not want to lose their reputation, their good name. And therefore, when they seen Christ sitting with them, they could not understand this. Such a holy man, who proclaimed to be the Son of God, that he should mingle with publicans and sinners. They did not dare to ask him personally, but they came to his disciples and said, "How is it that thy master sits and eats with publicans and sinners?" The disciples, they had no answer. You know why? Because they were just like them in the beginning. They wouldn't mingle with publicans and sinners either. But now, because their master did, therefore they sat down with him. And they had no answer for these Pharisees and scribes. But Jesus heard what these Pharisees and scribes had said. And he turned and spake unto them and said, "The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance." Oh, how he spake directly to these Pharisees. The whole need not a physician. They were the whole that he meant when he spake this. They were holy men. They were righteous men in themselves. And if anyone was going to heaven, they were. And all the people thought the same thing of them. And they had a reputation far above all other sects that lived at that time. And therefore, Jesus said, the whole need not a physician. This, the whole, may be applied likewise to two other characters. In the first place, to everyone that is dead in trespasses and sins. For those that go on following the pleasures of this world and pursuing the vanities thereof, they have no concern, no care about their immortal soul. They are not troubled with their sins. They live as if there is no God, as if there is no eternity, as if they have no immortal soul. In this respect, they are whole. They need not a physician. It may also be applied to many who make a profession of religion. There are many who are born and brought up in a religious family. They are taught from infancy to pray, to read the Bible, and when they become of age, their parents insist upon it that they become members of the congregation. And after becoming members, they are spoken to as if they are Christians. They grow up under the teachings that nothing else is necessary. They are children of the covenant. They are builded up, and they are sound Christians. They are in a profession. They never needed a physician. They think everything is well with them. They are whole. I wonder how many of my hearers are in this case. Are you one that's still dead in trespasses and sins? Are you in a profession of religion? Do you mean everything is well? Do you think that when you die, God will accept you because He is a God of mercy? You have lived a good Christian life. You have done as your teachers have told you. You have believed. You have done many acts of faith, as they say. And that when you come to pass away, surely God in mercy will receive you. Is this your foundation? Are you building upon such things, my hearers? Then let me say unto you, you are one of these who Christ speaks of, the whole. You never in your life had any need, any necessity for this great physician, Christ Jesus. You never felt the burden of your sins and of your guilt. You never were wounded by the Spirit of God. These Pharisees, they were like what we read of in Isaiah 65. They say, come not near unto me, for I am holier than thou. Now this sect is not yet died out, my hearers. Let me say also that this sect we find in our own hearts. You ever find a Pharisee within you? That you think you're better than the next one? That you don't want to come near to this one or near to that one because you might be contaminated, you might be polluted, you might be corrupted by them? Oh, that Pharisee that dwells in every one of our hearts, my hearers. Come not near to me because I'm holier than you are. Every one of God's people learn to know that they have a Pharisee within them. And now, my hearers, they that are whole, if you go on in this state and die in this state, then there'll be a rude awakening when you have to meet Christ in the great day of judgment. For then you will be truly cast out into that place where you will suffer eternally, under the wrath and under the anger and under the indignation of God because of your sins. And there'll be no physician there, my hearers. There'll never be any comfort there. There'll never be any lightening up upon the torment that you shall experience. Oh, how terrible then is the condition of those that are whole. I would say that they have a terrible sickness that they don't know anything about. They mean that it is all well, and that is the sickness that they have. They never have been uncovered, never have been given to know themselves that they are not whole. How many die in this state? How many ministers preach such creatures in heaven, and they never had need for a physician? They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Who were the sick? Christ came into this world for sinners. He was sitting in the midst of them. They were sinners, these publicans and these creatures that were gathered round about him. And for such he had come into this world. And therefore he spake to them. He opened up to them the way whereby they could be saved. The Pharisees never spake to the sinners or publicans. They never warned them. They never spake in love and told them that there was a Savior coming, that there was a sacrifice to be offered, that in that sacrifice there was a full and a free remission for their sins. They never bothered with the publicans or the sinners. But here Christ, he sat in the midst of them. And oh, what a wonder it was for these publicans and sinners when he began to speak. Oh, my hearers, are they that are sick. Let me say that not one person will ever feel this sickness unless the Spirit of God convicts him of sin. You know, by nature, a natural, a robust, and a healthy person does not need a physician. So likewise, spiritually, those that are whole, those that think it is well, those that have never been wrought upon by the Spirit of God, they need no physician. But those that have been pierced, that have been wounded, that have been given to feel the arrows of the Almighty sinking within their souls, who have been given to feel and to see that they have sinned against a holy and a just and a righteous God. All my hearers, such creatures, they do not at first resort to this physician. They seek physicians of no value. They turn to the law. And they try in their own power and in their own strength to heal that wound. And they cannot. Sometimes it appears as if they have subdued their sins, or their conscience does not witness against anything that they are doing, for they live such a strict and such a holy life according to the law that they really believe that God will accept them and take them to himself. But now, if it is the work of God If the Spirit of God has wrought that wound in your soul, he will wound you again. And he will let you tumble headlong into some sin that you have been praying against, that you have been fighting against. And that particular sin you were so subject to, and you thought you had overcome it. You thought you never would do it anymore. But suddenly, you fall headlong into it. And my hear is when this takes place, that person, he's brought down so low and so wounded, and sometimes brought into such despair, and brought sometimes to even try to take his life, because it has all fell down in a heap, and it's a lost matter for him or for her. All such a creature, he lieth then at the brink of despair. And now such a person is just a fit object for this great physician. For to such a creature he comes and speaks and says, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest." They are given to hear his precious voice. They are directed to him who is able and mighty to save them. He draws them to himself, for he is the way, the truth, and life. And what a wonderful thing that is, my hearers, to have the way opened up in Christ Jesus. Have you ever had it? Have you ever seen anything of the beauty, of the excellency, of the loveliness, of the compassion and of the mercy of this precious Jesus, this great physician? Then you have begun to hope. You have begun to pray. You have wrestled at the throne of grace that he would deliver you. You have begun to cry, "Save me, O Lord, save me, heal me, and I shall be healed." Oh, the many entreaties, the many desires, the many longings that such souls send up to be healed. They have a wound within them that no physician on earth can heal. They need this great physician. And in this state, they are full of hope, full of expectation that soon their souls will be healed. But oh, my hearers, when God takes a person into hand, he does not teach him everything at one time. Such a person has to be taught the depth of the fall in Adam. Such a person has to be given to see that in him dwelleth no good thing, that the whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, and that from the crown of the head to the footsole of the feet, there is no soundness within them, nothing but wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. God don't teach you this in one day, my hearers. He can. But it takes sometimes a lifetime before a person is brought to that place. I would separate these people into two groups. One are just wounded, and the others are in an incurable state. You know, those that are just wounded, they have a lot of hope, they have a lot of expectation that soon everything will be well with them. But soon, my hearers, their desires, their longings subside. They get themselves back. They never thought they would. They never thought that they would be what they were. Oh, how God teaches his people. They have to be taught that they're ruined, that they're lost, that they're undone. You know, it's easy enough to say these things with your mouth and with your mind, but to experience it is another matter. And God teaches his people these things. He brings them down into the depths of misery, into their lost and ruined condition. And what happens then? Why, they are despairing of ever being saved. And there ain't anybody that can cure them. It's lost. I wonder how many of my hearers have ever been there. You still have hope. You still have expectation. You still have longings and desires. Then you are only one that has just been wounded. All my hearers, to be brought into that state where you are incurable. You know, my hearers, in nature, a person may carry around with him a dreadful disease. He may have TB. He may have leukemia. He may have cancer. Now, these diseases are fatal diseases for the most part. And he may carry them seeds about with him and not know it. He may go on living the life that he does, but suddenly something happens. And then he has to go to a physician. And the physician diagnoses his case as, say, having cancer. What does that person do? They want the best physician. They want the one that has the most experience. They want the one that knows just what he has to do in their particular case. Such a person needs a physician. There are some that have a chronic disease. They're always going to the doctor. Every week, every 2 weeks, they're spending their money for the doctor, and they never get better. Then there are some, my hearers, that only imagine that they're sick. There's a lot of people that way. They have a pain here, an ache there, and oh, they make a mountain of it. They got to go to the doctor, and they're not sick at all. There's nothing the matter with them. And sometimes the doctor, he'll bleed them for all that he can get. Are these what I have been describing to you, my hearers? We find them also spiritually this way. Oh, when God strikes home, my hearers, then we have an incurable disease. We have a wound that no physician on earth can heal. And now the funny part of it is, my hearers, we all have that disease, and no one feels it until the Spirit of God strikes home. Then we begin to need this physician. Oh, what a blessing. I hope there aren't any of my hearers here that are like I just described. They imagine that they're sick. They know they're sinners. They read about it. They pray about it. But they never have been wounded by the Spirit of God. Imagination does a lot of things for people. I would say, don't let your imagination run away with you. All seek that you may have the true work of God going on within you. All my hearers, when you are brought to a state where you are incurable, where there's no hope anymore of you ever being saved or being delivered or being made well, then you are very close to having this physician come to you. He knows each patient. He knows just how the disease is progressing. He's got his eye upon them. And now when they get to that state, then he steps in. He pours the balm of Gilead in their wounds. He reveals himself to their immortal souls. And oh, what a blessed day that is to be healed by this great physician. My time is gone already, my hearers. I never expected to speak so much as I did about this particular case. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The Lord bless the feeble teachings this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today. Are sick. The Lord bless the feeble teachings this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today.